Okay. Bruchim Haboyim, Shalom Aleichem. We want to introduce every person to the 17th in the series of Shiurim lectures on the Mirah Nevuchim, the Rambam's Guide for Perplexed. The last two classes we discussed in depth chapter 25, which is a very pivotal chapter. But now I'm going to skip over chapters 26 to 29. This is not to say that it's not important, but the chapter 30, which is a is just about the longest chapter in the creation, centers upon the Rambam's comment interpretation of the first chapters of Genesis, of Bereishis. And it is one of the three central chapters in the section on creation. Perhaps it is the most central chapter for it. And because of this, I feel that for important for purposes of thematic continuity, we're going to we will commence chapter 30. Perhaps a little time we'll get back to chapters 26, 27, 28, 29. Of course, and when it comes to videos, there's no time anyway. Okay, fine. Now, the Rambam, just to summarize, the section on creation of the Rambam begins with chapter 13 through chapter 30. Already in chapter 31, well, actually chapter 31 is only one, a few paragraphs. Chapter 32 already commences the sections on Nevuah, on prophecy. So really, in a certain sense, chapter 30 represents the final climax of the Rambam's section of the Mirah Nevuchim that deals with creation. And there the Rambam is actually going to reveal to us how he in fact learns Pshat, how he actually interprets the Psukim, the verses in the first two Pshukim, two chapters of Bereishis. So let's begin with chapter 30. It says the Rambam, it's like this. From chapter 13 to chapter 29, what the Rambam has basically done is the Rambam has argued out the issue of creation ex nihilo versus the eternity of the universe. In other words, chapter 13, the Rambam presents the three opinions of creation, two opinions of eternity, and one opinion of creation ex nihilo. And then from chapter 14 through chapter 29, what the Rambam really does is to present the different arguments pro and against creation ex nihilo and the eternity of the universe. And so in other words, the Rambam's discussion, his debate, his discussion with Aristotle, whether the world is eternal, whether it was created, actually ends, in a certain sense, in chapter 29. So in chapter 30, the Rambam has already argued his case for creation in contradiction to the eternity of the universe. And now that he's done that, so now in chapter 30, the Rambam now can commence telling us, or teaching us, how in fact he himself learns the pshat, the psukim, the verses, how he himself interprets the verses in Bereishis. Okay, so therefore what the Rambam is going to do is basically go through the first two chapters of Bereishis and inform us of how he himself interprets them. Okay, so let's begin. We're once again Perek Lamed, chapter 30, in the Schwartz edition. This is page 361. Da, Sheish Hevdel ben Harishon veHareshit. This is the beginning. The difference between Rishon and Reishis. Right, Rishon. Right, we'll see. Ki Reishis. Right, Nimtzeis v'Mashu Reishis loy or imoy. Afim Eino Kodemis leBizman. In other words, like this. Rishon, this term Rishon refers to the first. Reishis doesn't necessarily refer to the first, but refers to the central part, the major part of something. In other words, Rishon is when something is the first in time. Rishon is a concept in temporality, a concept in time. Reishis is is not necessarily that which comes first temporally, but is the central part of something. In other words, Reishis means the central part of something. So the Rambam gives an example. For example, you say the lev, the heart, is the central part of an animal, right? Right? Reishis shel balachayim. That indicates that even though the heart was not, the Rambam will say, even though the heart was not the first thing to be created in a human being when a human being is, when he develops embryologically, but nonetheless, the heart, at the end, the heart is the central organ from which all functions of the body derive their life. In other words, basically the foundation of something is called the reishis of something. In other words, says the Rambam, even though sometimes Rishon can also refer to something which is the principal type of principal part of something, nonetheless, the word Rishon usually refers only to something which came temporally prior to something. It doesn't mean that it's the major part of something. It doesn't mean that just because it came first, it means it's the reason for everything else that comes afterwards. Kamosha Omrim, we say, says the Rambam gives an example. Sharishan Shigar Babaya Ze Ploini. Va'acharav Almoini. In other words, Ploini was the Risha, the first person who lived in this house. And Almoini was the second person in this house. Now obviously the first person in this house is distinguished only because he lived there first. But there's nothing deterministically consequential in the fact that this person, Ploini, lived in the house. It wasn't the cause for the for that the second person, Almoni, lived in the house too. In other words, it's purely a temporal concept here. You wouldn't say that Ploini is Reishisa Shel Almoni. Ploini just happens to have came first before Almoni, but there's no causal relationship between Ploini and Almoni. He beat Hamayra b'Shoneinu al Arishon u'Tchila. So the other brings a pasuk that when it says to, right, that Rishon means the same thing as Tchila. Tchila de Ber Hashem Bo Hoshaya means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first spoke to Hoshaya. Umash Meir Al Reishis Hu Reishis. But that which is the principal form of something, or the principal cause of something, that's called Reishis. In other words, says the Rambam, the word, the biblical word, which usually denotes something which is Rishon, which just comes temporally first, is usually called Tchila. Whereas something which is the principle, the central basis of something, is called Reishis. In other words, basically Reishis comes from the word Rosh, which is the head of an animal, which of course is a central part of an animal. Ha'olam nivra bereishis zmanis kefi shehivhalnu. The world was not created at the beginning, right, of any time, as we explained. Okay? So like this, what does this mean? It means the following thing. The Rambam, let's go back again. I mean, this is familiar to us, but there's no Isser in Chazara. And going back to this, the Rambam, of course, claimed in Perek Gimel, when he presented the opinion of Kreshach Nihilo, that time is among those things which were created, since time is a creation, therefore time could not have existed before the creation of the world. Hence, we cannot say that the world was created at any number of years ago. Because if we say the world was created any number of years ago, it would follow that 1 second before that, there was no world. But how could 1 second before number of years ago there was no world, when in fact wasn't time before the world was created? Hence, right, we have a reductio ad absurdum, and therefore we cannot say the world was created X number of years ago. In other words, and we spoke at length about this, if you refer back to the first and second shiur, you will see that I actually elaborate upon this, and this actually eventually led to our understanding of creation ex nihilo as being really in some sense a concept and not a physical theory. So here the Rambam is saying that when the Torah uses reishis, it's not referring to a something which temporally took place first in time, but rather speaking about the central deterministic foundation for the world. Okay, that's what the Rambam is getting at. Okay, now, Lachain Abar, right? Bereishis. Now, so therefore, what does Bereishis mean? So Bereshis means Habes. In other words, Bereshis is Bereshis. Bereshis means the foundation of, the principal part of. And Bereshis means, right? Bereshis, what's Bereshis means? It says Beis, who be mashmo is Betoch. Now, what does Betoch mean? So actually, Betoch, the Loshen, actually, the older version of Uchem, is called, the Beis, called Beis HaKli, right? Basically means betoch. The older editions say beis hakli, habezu b'mashmos betoch. In other words, within reishis, or with reishis. Now the question is, what does this mean? What does the Rambam mean when he says bereishis habezu b'mashmos betoch? Was betoch? The Rambam is giving a marshal to a kli, that somehow, or the world was created within reishis. What is this reishis that the Rambam is referring to? So there's a dispute among the medieval commentators on the Rambam. What exactly did the Rambam mean by this? It's interesting that the Schwartz edition here says a beis u'beshmos betoch, but the lashon of the Rambam and the, you know, the traditional translation of Ibn Tibbon is really, it's called Beis HaKli, as if to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Reishis. Now the...
Reishis is referring to what?
What's Reishis? What's Reishis? So like this, so the Shem Tov, Moshe Naboni, the Shem Tov says that basically what Reishis refers to, the wisdom with which Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. This little bit is very similar to the Zaya. You know, the Rabban al-Chumi says, Bereis Balukim means b'chachma. The Kadosh Baruch created the world with chachma. It's actually a Zaya like that. I don't know if the Rabban quotes it explicitly as being a Zaya, but it's an explicit Zaya. But what does b'reishis mean? Reishis means chachma. Reishis chachma. Kadosh Baruch created the world with reishis. What does he create the world with reishis? So the Shem Tov says that what Kadosh Baruch did, that He had a concept of the world. He looked at this concept, and with this concept of the world, he created the world. In other words, the world, right, was created with a conceptual design, and that's what's called Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Reishis. We know it was with this conceptual design Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So in other words, basically, Bereishis refers to the fact that the world was created with chokhmah, namely that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, did not create a world, you know, at random, but rather Kadosh Baruch Hu used chokhmah, and this chokhmah was the design with which the Kadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. That's the opinion of the Shem Tov on the Rambam. Now, Kreskas has another opinion. Kreskas' opinion is that Bereishis here really means, and actually this fits a little bit more into what the way Professor Schwartz translates, Abezu b'mashmos betoch. What does betoch mean? So Kreskas understands there's a concept called Ata, Ayin Tov Hei, which means the present. In other words, Kreskas says that there's a concept called present. Present is, in other words, it's something which is almost undefinable, because, in other words, once you think about it, it goes away. The past, of course, is no longer here. The future doesn't exist. So there's a certain moment called Atta, and what Kreskas explains is that this notion, Atta, which is somehow this concept of time, this concept of present, it's instantaneous. You can't even when the second you think about it, it runs away. This Atta represents the beginning of time. So what happens is that the world, the Atta, right, represents this undefinable boundary point, which he calls Atta because it somehow corresponds to our notion of the present. It represents the boundary between the past, which we can think about, which is no longer here, and the future, we can also think about, but it's not yet here. And what Kreskas says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Reishis means is that this boundary point of time, which is the first act or the first concept of a present moment, that's the With that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Now, in the forthcoming lectures of Rabbi Soloveitchik on Genesis, I want to first of all wish Rabbi Moshe Tulansky a lot of hatzlacha. His cross-examination is continuing today, and I'm sure the schus of Kleskas and Shem Tov and the Rambam will be oimid for him. But in any case, Rabbi Soloveitchik understands that in fact, actually, what's interesting is that these actually represent Kesser and Chochmah in a certain sense. He wants to make Kreskas is really more like Kesser and Shet is more Chochmah. He wants to say that these are two different concepts in what Rabbi Soloveitchik calls the positioning of non-being. In other words, creation ex nihilo, as Rabbi Soloveitchik understands, is a concept which is almost a non-illogical possibility. It's illogical from a Western point of view because we don't have a concept of what's called non-being. And so the Vedic wants to say that somehow these medieval commentators understood that even though the concept of creation ex nihilo cannot be in time, nonetheless, you can posit a concept which he calls positioning non-being before the natural world and its natural time are created. Shem Tov posits this in what he calls philosophical idealism. In other words, everything that we look at, everything that we study, everything that we measure in the world is necessarily first conceived of in terms of an idea. In other words, the mind of God is what makes creation possible. And because of this, Shem Tov, when it says Bereishis Bara Elokim, means is referring to the fact that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all creation begins in the mind. Right? In other words, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates always has to have its divine thought, which doesn't necessarily precede it in time, but it precedes it, not in time, because they can't have time before that, but nonetheless, it ontologically precedes it in the fact that all natural processes, right, are consequences of the divine thought which represents the logical laws and the scientific and rational laws upon which the creation is based. So if you look at the natural world, and we discover in the natural world these abstract scientific laws, these scientific laws represent the reishis, and we're saying with reishis, because God created the world. In other words, reishis is not a temporal concept. We're not saying reishis came necessarily for the world in a temporal sense, but that Baruch Hu used these rational laws in establishing the creation of the world as we know it. And for Kleskas, Rabbi Soloveitchik wants to say that there we're speaking about a concept called atta, it's an instant of time. I'm not really sure really what Kreskas wants to say, except that Kreskas understands that Rabbi Soloveitchik wants to claim that Kreskas was actually predating the notion of a calculus. That time is not looked like Zeno looked at time as being a series of discrete points, but rather as a concept of a continuum. And this concept of continuum allowed mathematicians to speak about infinitesimals and therefore to elaborate a concept of a continual movement and not get into the types of paradoxes which Zeno himself got into. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but in any case, Rabbi Soloveitchik wants to claim, right? It's a Titus, right? So this is Yud Zayin Batamos, Ratamos. Yom Shabbat. In any case, we should be zeichet to a nechama. In any case, Rabbi Soloveitchik wants to claim that Kreskas, in fact, actually is was the first person to conceive of actually the calculus, which was then developed by Newton, I think, in the 16th, 17th century. But in any case, what I want to say, though, in the Rambam is very, very important. The Rambam is what the Rambam seems to be saying, that Bereish is a base of Moshe Rabbatoch, means that the Rambam is faced with the following problem. If we believe that the world was created ex nihilo, and that time was part of this creation ex nihilo too, So the world cannot have been created in one point of time. If that's true, then Bereshis cannot possibly mean in the beginning God created the world, because there isn't at one time that he created the world. So because of this, the Rambam understands that Reishis here doesn't mean a temporal concept, that the world was created at a specific point of time, but rather, what the Rambam is trying to say is the Torah is establishing the fact that the creation was done with this divine element, this divine this divine kli, utensil called Reishis, right? Kreskos understands it one way, Shem Tov understands it another way. But the Rambam is trying to say is, we're not, when we speak about creation, we have to get away from a concept of creation at a certain point of time. But rather, Reishis refers to the foundation of the creation. Now, the reason this is important is not only for how we learn the first pasuk of the Torah. Eventually, we're going to see in Perek Lamed that Rambam is going to actually ask several questions, which are going to raise several paradoxes, which at the very end are going to express themselves, where the Rambam is going to claim that the creation process narrative, which we see in Genesis, did not take place in time. In other words, the Rambam's big bomba chiddush in Perek Lamed is, when it says day one, day two, day three, it doesn't mean day one first, and then day two, and then day three. The Torah is not speaking about creation and time. The Torah, in fact, is speaking about the hierarchy of the natural world. So in other words, what the Rambam wants to do, the Rambam wants to basically strip the account of creation for any concept of time. What the Torah is detailing in the first chapter, is not the temporal sequence of creation, but rather the physical hierarchy of the cosmos, as the Rambam will explain it in accordance with Aristotle's physics. So in other words, what the Rambam is actually beginning to do over here is to try to teach us how to understand Psukim, which apparently is speaking about time, in fact, but not in temporal concepts. That's really what the Rambam wants to do. Okay, now, the next sentence says, "Hatagum amiti shel haposuk hazehu, b'hatchala bo hakel es hamayla v'es hamata." Right? And now, when you think about this, this is a contradiction to everything I've said the last 5-10 minutes. The Rambam stressed that Reish is not the beginning of time. And then the Rambam says, the real translation of this pasuk is that b'hatchala, which seems to mean in the beginning, was the right? Techila says the Rambam refers to Rishon and not to Reishis. Rishon meaning temporal priority and not any type of a central principle, the central cause. Bo'akel Shemayim v'samayla, that seems to contradict everything the Rambam said before. Here the Rambam is going back to the notion of creation taking place at a certain time. So I see there's a footnote number 6 that the bottom, there he quotes in Hebrew the Arabic, and there he says, Efshar, right? Gam l'targem b'atchala b'riyas hakel es hamayla v'yas hamata. In other words, we speak about the beginning of the creation, right? Of God's creation of above and below. In other words, basically, a little bit the way Rashi learns in Chumash, the baseball response means the beginning of God's creation of the heavens and the earth, which means that there is not referring to the very first instant of creation ex nihilo, because if you follow Rashi's commentary, Rashi says, in the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth, the world was toyo vavoyo. The world was in a state of chaos. So what does that mean? That seems to suggest that Rashi was of the opinion that the world was created from a primordial, formless matter called toyo vavoyo, which is hiyuli. And from that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fastened the world. So in other words, clearly according to this, and Rabbi Soloveitchik says the same thing, Rashi was not interpreting the first pasuk of the Torah as indicating creation ex nihilo, but rather the fashioning of the world from a priori, primordial, amorphous, formless matter. In any case, I see on the bottom two, Professor Schwartz brings from Rav Kapach, right? That he wants to say, "Bat chalabal kelsh mein vahos" means he created everything at once. And somehow he doesn't like that. I don't understand what Rav Kaplan is even trying to say. But in any case, I think what the Rambam wants to say is meaning it could possibly be that the Rambam says after this, if you say in the beginning God created the heavens and the world, the heavens and the earth, that means that there was a beginning to creation. And says the Rambam, this is of course matim, this goes along with chiddush, with creation ex nihilo. So what the Rambam says is that the Targum Amite, the true interpretation of the pasuk is, in the beginning God created that which was above, that which was below. And says the Rambam, this works out with creation ex nihilo. Well, if the Rambam is saying this, so therefore, what did the Rambam say above? That Bereishis is referred to the first, but Reishis refers to with Reishis. So, it could possibly be what the Rambam wants to say is the following thing. What does the Rambam mean when he says, Targum HaMite? I think what the Rambam wants to say is the following thing. The Rambam wants to say that in a certain sense, the Pasuk has to be understood on two levels. In other words, Bereishis Bara Hashem Va'aretz. The Targum HaMite is that in the beginning God created everything above and below, and that's Kriyas Shema Nihilo. However, since, right, that's what the Pasuk, that's the true Targum of the Pasuk. However, when we think about that, we can't really concede that. Why? Because the Rambam has already told us that the world, Kamo She'evarnu, the world was not created at the beginning of time. So for this reason, the word Reishis, right, is best thought as meaning the underlying principle of something, of creation. So in other words, it seems that what the Rambam is saying is the following thing. The Rambam is saying is that, what I would say is that when he says Targum HaMite means, if you translate the Pasuk, the true Targum of the Pasuk is that we're describing creation ex nihilo. In other words, the Pasuk is coming to convey to me the concept of creation ex nihilo. The problem is, we can't say that God created the world at the beginning of a certain time, because the Rambam's already clear that's impossible. So Targum HaMite means like this. Really, if I look at the grammar of the Pasuk, the grammar of the Pasuk means that God created the world with Reishis. In other words, that's the way I can conceive the notion of creation ex nihilo. But the true meaning of the Pasuk, HaMite means, not the meaning that I can conceive, but the true opinion which the Pasuk is coming to convey to me is that what? Is that God created the world in the beginning, which means creation ex nihilo. In other words, the Pasuk is coming to communicate to me a concept, creation ex nihilo, but which I cannot use words to express because the world was not created at the beginning of any time. So Targum HaMite means, what's the hashkafa that the Pasuk is coming to convey to me? And you would say, like Chazal said, Kiviyachol, God created the world at the beginning, right? That's Targum HaMite. But the grammar of the Pasuk, if a person thinks of the Pasuk and tries to conceptualize it within the semantics and syntax of the Pasuk, it's speaking about Reishis, which is the fundamental principle with which God created the world. That's what I would say is the Pshat of the Rambam. It's a difficult, I mean, this is the only way I understand it to be Yashu the Rambam. I've looked at the different Giosois of the Rambam and there's nothing that's really satisfying. That's what I would have to say. It was Targum HaMite means, what is the Hashkafa? What is the opinion the Pasuk is conveying? And Pasuk is conveying the opinion that God created the world, Krishna Stila, which can only be expressed in English as the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But the fact is that the Pasuk itself, grammatically, cannot be describing that, because of course, in reality, God cannot have created the world at the beginning of time, so therefore the Pasuk reads righteous means the principle, the fundamental central principle with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. I think that's the Pshat of the Rambam. Okay, now, it's very, very interesting that the Rambam has come to something very, very, a major problem. Marsha atamoitzim a foolish bit of vrayim shall come a chachamim shall kavol shall hoya zman nimtza lefnei b'yas oilam zamuk shema'oit. This is the Rambam. We find in Chazal, the Chazal speak about the fact that there was time before the creation of the world. Chachamim here refers to Chazal. Says the Rambam is very difficult. Ki zoysi datu shall aristo. This is the opinion of Aristotle. Shall oysa hifat v'cha, which I've already explained. Let's go up to page 362. According to Aristotle, it's impossible that time at the beginning. He said, "Begun." So the Rambam rejects this. Of course, this is not a good thing. Now, says the Rambam that there were Chazal, there were personages among Chazal who actually adhere to the opinion of Aristotle that the world is eternal. Right now, why did they do so? Says the Rambam, it's because of the story of the Pasuk, right? In other words, it says in the Chumash, Yom Echad Yom Sheni, first day, second day, right? In other words, if I learn computer, this is the first day, that's the second day. Im ein gadol soiveh ve'ein shemesh. If I don't have a sun that goes around the earth, I'll be Ezetav Anim, the Dimashim. How do you kind of speak about one day? The sun was first created on Yom Revi. Lemaisa, that's the question that Rambam asks. In other words, there's no sun, I can't speak about a day. I would have asked the question differently. I would ask the question is, when do you begin your day? It's a 24-hour day. When do you begin it? You just told me that the world cannot have been created at any one point of time. So where do I begin the day? But the Rambam answers a different way. We'll go back to this. So the Rambam says, "Mechein amru b'loshen hazeh yom rishon." Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Simon, "Mikan shayat seidus zmanu koyim l'chein." We see from this it was time before the creation of the world. Now, very interesting. Amar Avu, "Mikan shakosh boch boy elamis u'machiva." We see Kosh Boch created destroyed worlds. It's the famous Kiruv Medrash that people account four, five, 6 years ago, people used to account for the world was older than 5,768 years. The Rambam is like this is worse than even the first one. But in any case, like this, I have a question. How does it answer the question? How does it answer the question? In other words, if I say that God created and destroyed worlds, okay, if I say God created and destroyed worlds before this, what does that mean? That means that in fact, actually, what we're doing is that there was a sun before the world. I don't know. The sun just sort of went around the world and created time, and then this is the first day after that. Or we say, but in other words, I don't understand. In other words, if the question of the Rambam like this, if the question of the Rambam is, how can you say day one, day two, because there isn't a sun, so saying there was time before the creation of the world doesn't help me, because I need a sun. I need a sun. I don't have a sun. The sun is first of Wednesday. It was if you asked the question the way I thought the question should have been asked, how could I have a beginning of time? So you say, in Hachinami, there can't be a beginning of time. There can't be a beginning of time. You have to say that what the Rambam really means to ask is that you have to say that in fact, and in accordance with Aristotle, when Aristotle speaks about the turn of the world, it means the world came in hugger knowing. In other words, the world the way it is always was, there was always a sun going around. There was always a sun going around. So now, what does Rabbi Rab Simon say? Mikan Shia said it's a manim come the chayim. There was a sun before the creation of the world. So what was the Kosh Boko doing on Yom Revi? That we don't know. Or does the Rambam really want to say that no, Yom Revi does refer to a day? Yom Revi just refers to a hierarchy of the creation, but really, in fact, when you're speaking about time and the sun going around the world, that always was. That would be the Aristotelian understanding of the eternity of the universe. And then, when Rabbi Avol says, Kosh Boko created worlds and destroyed them, what he means is there's also worlds like our worlds before our world, except that what? We can measure time based upon previous worlds, and our world is just an extra day which begins after the end of the previous world, but nonetheless, there is a sequence of time of days before the creation. In other words, basically, both Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Aval both agree that the creation of the sun of Yom Levi is of no significance at best, and at worst never existed at any particular point of time. That's what you have to say. That what the Rambam here is being meramez, is alluding to the fact that the Torah already, according to these Chazal, who he calls Begunah, he rejects them only to accept them later on at the very, very end, that in fact the opinions of these Tanayim, Morayim, is that in fact, actually, we cannot look at the narrative of the creation and Bereishis of Genesis as being a narrative of time where the sun is first created on the fourth day on Yom Avi. It must be that there was always a sun going and spheres going around the world, and consequently there was time before the creation of the world, before what we call the creation of the world. That's what you have to say in the Rambam. Okay, now, we attack this boiner by Akash Lishnayim. Said the Rambam, we had to think what was dealt for them. By the way, Derech Agav, we see very clearly here, the person who believes the world's eternal cannot chasid be an apikoyos. I mean, the Rambam is saying explicitly that we have chashav abaroyim who adhere to Aristotle. How does the Rambam explain this? Actually, the Rambam has spoken about this previously. Pinyin de Rabbi Yezer is full of Aristotelianism. And who explained it is the Shita of Taras Moshe. In any case, v'metzias abal of lemetzias Hashem as hazois. B'koyim yuz balacha pitron l'mashi akashel l'shnei elu. Soon as the Rambam is going to give an answer to what was difficult for these two people, these people want to say that it's impossible to view the creation of the world without speaking about eternal time. Says the Rambam, this is the belief in Kadmus, the eternity of the world. The Ben Toi should be careful. This is Eliezer, Pir Eliezer, who says, from where was the sky created? Meaning that he too believed in Kadmus. It wasn't created ex nihilo, he says. It was created for something else. Says the Rambam, don't ignore what these people are saying. Basically, the Rambam, ignore what these people are saying. Except what I told you, the world was created from nothing. It wasn't created at any specific time, because time itself was created. That's what I'm going to say. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam here, in the second paragraph, appears to be changing his question. This is what I wanted to point out. In other words, the Rambam says, what was the problem? The very beginning of page 362, what was the problem? The problem they found, the Torah Yom Echad Yom Sheni, and they said, how could it possibly be? How could you speak about one day in 2 days? When what? When there wasn't yet a sun that's going around the world. In other words, you can't define a day without a sun. But then, says the Rambam, you should reflect upon what was difficult for them. Here the Rambam appears to be speaking more philosophically. Remember I told you that the Rambam asked the wrong question? The right question, the question should not have been, how can there be what? How can there be a day before the sun is created? That was the question Rambam asked. I asked the question, the Rambam should have asked the bigger question. How do you speak about creation and time? You say one day, what do you mean the day from? In other words, you could say Bereishis B'alo Kim, but you say we have a make Yom Rishon. That means there's a day time, right? Where do you begin the day? In other words, there's a philosophical question. How can you define time from a point where there was no time? That's a more philosophical question. So, what the Rambam is doing, in my opinion, my humble opinion, on page 362, second paragraph of the Schwartz edition, is that he's rephrasing the question, but in this time, in a philosophical jargon. In other words, he first phrased the question by saying, how can I speak about a day, a 24-hour day? The sun is first created on Yom Avi. But then now, he's rephrasing the question. How can I say 1 day, 2 days? Where do I begin the days? You can't begin a day from a point where there's no time before that. So, The Rambam seems to be saying that a question can be asked on two levels. On the pshat, there's an internal stira in the pasuk itself. In other words, there's an internal problem, and there's an external problem. There's an internal problem that the pasuk, the verse, speaks about days before the creation of the sun, which by definition create makes a day. That's the internal problem. And then there's an external problem. Well, the external problem means, how can the Torah speak about a day when philosophically I have no way of pinpointing the beginning of that day? I call that an external problem because it's not a problem within the Chumash. It's a problem of defining something the Chumash says. In other words, the first question is an internal problem. The second question is external because I can't define what time means in the Chumash if I also believe in creation ex nihilo. So in other words, what the Rambam is doing, in my opinion, and that's why he brings this thing of Eliezer, Shemayim Mehecha Nivro, from where were the heavens created, which means is that here, in other words, creation ex nihilo is an illogical possibility. You have to claim that there was always something created before that from which the heavens were fashioned. So, in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that there's an now what's interesting is like this. Could it be what the Rambam is saying is the following thing? The Rambam calls, he says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Avo are making claims, and the Rambam says these claims, this seems to be the opinion of Aristotle. Now, I mean, I'm not sure Rabbi Avo knew Aristotle. I'm not sure the Rambam understood Rabbi Avo knew Aristotle. In other words, what the Rambam says is that ultimately we speak about time before the creation of the world, it's Aristotelian. But Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yehuda didn't have Aristotle in mind. But they had a simple problem. What was the problem was? There's an internal problem in the pasuk. How could the pasuk speak about creation of the sun on the fourth day and then speak about days before that? In other words, the conclusion that they come to, says the Rambam, that there was a seder of time before the creation of the world, or that there were worlds created before the creation of the world, is not something which necessarily comes as a result of philosophical analysis. But it's something that what? That even a person never heard of Aristotle, never thought of Aristotle, nonetheless comes from an internal contradiction within the first pasuk. The second, Chazal that he quotes, Rabbi Eliezer, Shema Mehecha Nivro, the rabbi says it to be more philosophical. Because there, philosophically, right, the Rambam says, is that there's a philosophical problem. In other words, even if the sun was created on the first day, right, how do I set a first day if I believe the creation of Stiolo? So, basically, the concept of eternity can be arrived at either philosophically, by pondering the notion of time and creation ex nihilo, or was arrived at, not in a philosophical manner, but merely by the fact that the verses intimated a contradiction to each other. Now, why is this important? I think this important is because the Rambam is clearly saying, I think the Rambam is really claiming, the Rambam claims that he's going to give an answer to these questions. We'll see what the answer is. The answer will be very interesting. The answer is that eventually, as we'll see, that creation didn't take place in time. But the Rambam is motivating that even if you don't accept Aristotle philosophically, right, there's still a reason just from the text of the Chumash, right, to learn that the sun was not created on the fourth day. As the Chumash seems to be saying, why? For the fact is, how can it be about day one, day two, day three? So the Rambam is motivating his reading of the Psukim, not just because of philosophical Aristotelian premises, but because that there's an internal contradiction which doesn't allow me to read the Pasuk independent of any philosophical analysis. That's what the Rambam is doing over here. Okay, I think this is clear. Now it's a tightness, but... Is it clear? Okay, fine. What? Okay, fine. Now. Needless to say, the Rambam is criticizing Chazal. Or Rambam is criticizing Chazal. Rambam is accusing Chazal of taking on views, whether consciously or unconsciously, of Aristotle. The Rambam says I have a teirutz, I have a pitaron for all these two questions. First of all, it's clear in the Rambam that clearly you can argue upon Chazal's Pevushim of the Psukim. That emerges, that's the Rambam Sheet in general. But what does the Rambam come to tell me? The Rambam seems to be coming to tell me that Chazal did not believe here in creation of Ni'ala. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Well, the Rambam seems to be giving evidence. Chazal are in fact making statements which indicate that they were of the opinion the world was always existed. It's interesting, where did the Rambam find as a makor in Chazal the notion of creation ex nihilo? The Rambam, we've spoken about this, but let's go back a little again. The Rambam has mentioned that this is the Shita of Teras Moshe. This is the Rambam says in Perek Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, Deya kol ha-ma'aminim b'teras b'yishon 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 b'yishon. The Rambam also brought Sukkim from Avraham Avinu. B'shem Hashem ke'al oylam m'kinei shemayim v'oretz. The Rambam has never brought, up till now, any Chazal which indicates that the world was created ex nihilo. And it's clear from here that it didn't exist. Why? Because why would the Rambam say, right? I'm going to give you an answer. We have Chazal. The Rambam clearly cannot muster a single Chazal that understood that the world was created ex nihilo. Creation ex nihilo clearly seems to be that it was something which was a product of the Middle Ages. Or, at Middle Ages, there was still, right, it was a product of medieval theology. Clearly, the Rambam is indicating is that there's nothing to as a description of creation. There's nothing to base ourselves on in Chazal that indicates that the world was created ex nihilo. Created ex nihilo, as far as the Rambam is concerned, is merely theological in its methodology, because it allows, like the Rambam says, for the chosenness of Nevuah, for miracles, for the chosenness of Klal Yisrael, for the mitzvahs, for Tzav or Oynesh. But it does, in other words, the foundations of the Torah assume a creation ex nihilo. But the fact is that the Rambam here indicates he's going to have to come up with his own original way of resolving, right, the reading of verses which clearly indicate both from internal contradictions, and both from external philosophical problems, that the world certainly was not created ex nihilo. Could even be that the Rambam is indicating that, in fact, actually, he's going to present his own solution. Okay, now, let's go further. Bima shechai v'tal adas. Okay? Page 362. Last paragraph. B'mashachai v'tal adas, what you have to know, says the Rambam, she'achachamim amu v'fureshes b'mispah mekaymer she'amila es v'dabroi es ha'shamayim v'sa'oretz he'bamosh im. In other words, when we say es ha'shamayim v'sa'oretz, it means im. Right? So what is this with? Heim is kavnim b'zoi shu boas shamayim es im ha'shamayim it's called Ma'a B'Shamayim, V'Ma'or is called Ma'a Shaba'oretz. In other words, what it means is that the world was created with, in other words, the heavens were created with everything in them, they were created complete. In other words, everything in heavens and everything in the world was created when the world was created. U'kvayadata es avarosam sh'ashamayim v'oretz divru yachad. You already know they were created together. We came in Shabbalak, it says, in other words, it indicates that everything was created at the same time. Mikan shakol nivra yachad. This means that everything was created at the same time. Vadvav nivdolo kulam zachazeh. What happened was, everything was created at once, and things began to separate and bifurcate, right? One from another. In other words, basically, everything was created at once, and then the world somehow began a process of variegation, that things became to be distinguished, right? In other words, a farmer sows seeds all at once. Some of them sprout out today, some of them sprout out the next day. In other words, everything was created at once. And then after that, things somehow separated and distinguished things from each other, right? During the rest of the days of creation. The feed day azos and akhona bli savek nifta asafek shechaya v'sham yidu yom yom lama ma sha'oma shakash shaloy al pima nimdadu yom rishim yom shen bishlishi udvamu furashim omu chacham v'reishas rabba ala or aniska batara shu nivra v'yom rishim im amru b'loshan azeh hein hein amal eire shu nivra v'yom rishim v'lo tlon ad yom revi hareisha inin zeh nema b'fureshas. Now, what is the Rambam saying here? He's saying, with this we can understand what Rabbi Yehuda Rab Simon says, right? In other words, I'll put it this way. We can answer his question. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda Rab Simon was quoted in a Medrash by saying there was time before the world. So says the Rambam, how could you say something like that? It's Aristotelianism. Says the Rambam, no. What was his question? How can it be about 1 day, 2 days, 3 days? The answer is that no. Everything was created at once, which means it was also a sun in the very beginning of creation. When we say that on Yom Revi, the sun, how much more time do we have? When we say that on Yom Revi, the sun was created, it only means there was a sun that was distinguished in creation. In other words, the sun was always there doing its working. But the sun stood out on the fourth day. In other words, really, in fact, says the Rambam, there was a sun at the very beginning of creation. That's what answers the question of Rabbi Yehuda Rab Simon. In other words, what the Rambam is doing, the Rambam is telling us that no, really, in fact, you don't have to say there was time before the creation of the world. All you have to say is that everything was created the first day, and when the Torah is speaking about different things, it just means that these things somehow stood out and distinguished themselves on the other days. But for sure, what? There was a sun for the very first day that was going around the world that defined the first 3 days. That's what the Rambam is saying. Now, of course, the Rambam says this answers the question of Yehuda Rab Simon. The fact is, the Rambam is actually going to go a lot further than this. In other words, the Rambam is actually going to finally, in a few pages, we'll get to Mit Hashem, say that in fact, the Torah doesn't speak about days at all. But what the Rambam is doing right now is that the Rambam is taking us in steps. In other words, you can't introduce to the audience that the world was not created in a sequence of days. You can't say that. It's connected to Pshat of the Torah. But you can't say it all at once. What you could do is, you could say it in stages. So the Rambam has come to the first stage. The first stage says, no, everything was really created at the very beginning, but things somehow stood out, became distinguished in the natural environment on the succeeding days. And that holds us for the time being. The fact is, the real tevus, the real answer of the Rambam, is going to be later on page 367, and there the Rambam is going to say, no, days don't mean anything. Things weren't understood in different days. There was only a hierarchy of the universe, which the Torah discusses, which the Torah describes, and the Torah uses days, right, to describe hierarchies of creation. That's going to be the Rambam that Rambam learns on later on in Perek Lamed. That's what the Abinel understands the Rambam. What the Rambam is doing is the Rambam is slowly leading us to this incredible understanding of Bereishis. He's taking us step by step, and he's saying, in the meanwhile, the Vaila understand that things were not created ex nihilo on the other days of creation. They were already there in the creation. They somehow just bifurcate, distinguish themselves, become independently observable bodies in the succeeding days of creation. Okay. In any case, this is the beginning of Perek Lamed in the Rambam. We're going to go a lot further in Yitz Hashem, and actually we'll get to 367 the next shiur. We're going to see how the Rambam actually carries this to a point where, in fact, the narrative in Bereishis, the narrative in Genesis, is merely going to be a way of describing the physics, you know, the physical structure of the cosmos. That's where the Rambam wants to get to us. The Rambam is going to, we're going to see, is going to adhere to what I call commensurability. That the Chumash is actually coming to teach us, you know, natural law, natural physics. And that's how the Rambam actually began the Mar Nevuchim. The Rambam says, and why did the Torah begin with Bereishis? To teach us that we're supposed to know science before we speak about religion. So in any case, we will stop over here, and until next time, be well.